We are going to be taking a text this morning in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, but before I get to that, I just wanted to let all of you know that thus far, we had Friday night out there witnessing at this event, and it was a slower night, and then we were out there yesterday, and it was much less slow, to say the least, and we have gotten now just under 7,000 gospel tracts thus far. So we praise the Lord for that and for the willing workers and the hard workers. And we will share some of the good things that have happened another time. But this morning, I started out with a different text earlier in the week, and then I set it aside because I felt compelled to do so and say a few words on a text that I do often mention, I know. But it's a text which I believe is very applicable to the gospel work that you have been doing, not just this week and in Monroe, but for many years and in many places. And I hope to expound this text by way of commendation to you. There's nothing wrong with praising what is praiseworthy. Commendation to those of you who, by the grace of God, have persevered in service to the Lord Jesus over the years and in showing love to your neighbor by this great concern for souls, for sinners, lost, condemned, sitting in bonds and darkness, one heartbeat away from everlasting torment in hell. That is where we were. Each of us was there at one time. And the Christian has much compassion for those who are still there. And we want to see them saved and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You, then, of whom I speak, in your consistent and persistent gospel work over the years to the present, and this willingly, even joyfully, and we would not want it any other way. I do not want to do ministry with those who are not involved out of the right motives, and with the right demeanor and so forth, but you have demonstrated the love of Christ. And you've demonstrated that this love of Christ has also been shed abroad in your heart. You have given evidence of being a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, of having the mind of Christ, as the apostle puts it, and your desire to seek and to see sinners saved for the glory of Christ, for the good of his church, for the everlasting joy of both the gospel sower and the sinner saved. I hope also by just a few words on this text to encourage you on in such love and good works. May the Lord be pleased by his Spirit to help me in this. Now the text I'm speaking on today is one which I have explained in context in the past, and I'm not going to go into the context today. In fact, I'm not going to preach in depth on this text at all, but with just a few words, I hope to accomplish the two things I've already mentioned, to praise what's praiseworthy and to encourage you on in the work. My text is this, these words of the Apostle Paul to the little hard-pressed, persecuted, persistent, faithful, fruitful Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians 1, the verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Apostle Paul, his co-workers in the gospel, gave thanks often to God for the brethren in Thessalonica. They gave thanks to God and also remembering those brethren in prayer, praying for them. When you see such a gospel work bearing fruit in the hearts of the Lord's people, you first, of course, give thanks to God. It's only by his grace that this has taken place. But as I say, it's right also to praise what's praiseworthy. And so he gave this minister of Christ, the Apostle Paul, and those working with him in the gospel, gave thanks often for the brethren in Thessalonica and remembered them in prayer. And so it has been. And so it is with every true, sound, sincere, and faithful minister of Christ. With regard to such brethren, certainly in his congregation first and then beyond as well. I am one who has reason to give thanks to God always for those of you who so fit the description Paul sets forth next in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now I want to also add that it is always those same brethren, the sort our text describes, who also avail themselves of the grace of God, and always, including sincerely attending to and heeding the preaching of the Word. And it's always such brethren who can be counted on to worship the Lord in sincerity and truth with all their heart, lifting up their voice in love for the Lord and encouraging others in that, not holding back, but worshiping the Lord and encouraging all of us and honoring and praising Him. And it's always the same brethren who are vigilant to do their duty to build up the local church and to encourage, not discourage one another. And it's always the same brethren who have a heartfelt, active concern for all the ministry work of the church of which they're a member, including missionary works in other places. It's always the same brethren. That's what Paul is here describing. And let me add one more thing. It's always such brethren who are the most cheerful and who are the most trusting in the eternal wisdom and sovereign working and effectual power of the Lord. Even in times such as these and worse, it is always the same brethren. And before I say anything more on this text, I will reiterate that this description we have before us is nothing more than that of a people bearing evidence of true justifying faith and regeneration, and of having been engrafted into Christ and receiving the indwelling Spirit and having the graces of a Christian implanted in their hearts. This they evidenced first by their profession of Christ, then by their steadfast cleaving to Him in hardships, as we think of the Thessalonians, and even persecution. And then also, very importantly, by their persistent, consistent, willing service of Christ Jesus. Our text speaks of the three principal graces of the Christian. Then the apostle declares, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, after our text, following that to then continue to speak of what I've just summed up about the Thessalonian brethren. So we have a witness of who these people were, and a witness of the effectual power of regeneration, and a witness of true justifying faith being manifested, and all the graces of a Christian. Certainly the principal three are mentioned. Now, as I said, by way of commendation and encouragement, I only want to share some words today on this one verse, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. As for the commendation, I will say this, your faithful service has been, by the grace of God, following a work of grace in your heart. To God be the glory and thanks. Nevertheless, it is still your part and has been your part and is your part to constantly avail yourself of the grace of God and then persevere in the service of Christ. And you have, and you do, and for that you are to be commended. If our Master commends His faithful servants, and He does, how much more should we, who are His ministers, commend faithful servants, while all the while reminding them that without Christ they can do nothing, in truth are nothing. As for seeking to encourage you on in service, for Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, this is only right. For instance, Hebrews 10, the verse 24, not just speaking of ministers only, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And there are many, many passages that give ministers the charge to do just that as well, speak of just the ministers, but we all are spoken to there. And we have in Ephesians 2, the verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, before I go any further, I want to stress that this in our text today, work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope, of course, comprehends more than gospel work alone. And you know that. But gospel work is the vital principal work of the church. And it is that single application of our text I'm making today, again, by way of commendation and, I hope, encouragement. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Sinners are justified and saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works or personal merits. But true justifying faith always, always brings forth works. Faith without works is dead. Works are one evidence of true faith. A persistence in good works strengthens that evidence. A falling away to apathy and absence of works warns of a false conversion if such a state continues on. Faith brings forth works. So then, works of faith and works which are consistent with the Scriptures and done out of faith and in faith. Faith in all the promises of God concerning the work. Faith that we are not working alone, but the Lord Jesus is working with us and by us and supporting us, encouraging us, blessing the work of our hands. And as we consider the chief of all good works, gospel works, and in the context of our text, this aspect of gospel work, evangelism out in the world around us, this is truly then a work of faith. And it ought to be a work that faith brings forth, true faith. Now, gospel work is not the only good work Christians ought to be doing, and we know that. But as I said, it is the chief. It is the crown jewel of all good works, and it must not be neglected. True saving faith in truth brings forth works. Works consistent with the Scriptures and done out of faith and in faith. Only those who believe in the promises of God concerning the effectual power of the shared gospel, that is made effectual by the Holy Spirit, and believe in the sovereign prerogatives of God with regard to how and when he will bless that gospel seed, but that indeed he has promised to bless it and prosper it. Only those who work in such faith will persist in that work of faith. This you have done, those of whom I speak. And the Scriptures give us ample reason to believe and trust that God's word never returns void, but always accomplishes his purposes. And that when we're out sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, God always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. The unregenerated man does not understand that. He cannot comprehend that. But rest assured, God our Father and Christ Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, will bless both the sower and the gospel seed, even as we wait, so to speak, for the early and the latter rain. And I want to say this to the young people who are also, of course, young Christians. We know that you have entered into the service of the Lord because you have the heartfelt desire and conviction, and yes, the courage to serve him, to own him as your master out in public and to serve him, to own him as your Savior. No one pressured you in any way, and no one made you feel as if you must go out. But time will tell how deep your convictions run. I bring up convictions because conviction also belongs to faith. Those who believe act on that belief. For instance, the apostles' words in 2 Corinthians 4, the verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And Romans 1 is the chapter, 16 through 17 are the verses, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now another thing about true faith, which brings forth works approved of God, through our sanctifying union with Christ Jesus, is that the faithful Christian's work of faith is, as Paul next writes, a labor of love. Labor is translated from a Greek noun, with the meaning of laboring to the point of weariness. Love is translated from agape, which is also translated in many places charity. And as you know, the emphasis of this Greek word for love, which is translated love, it's love of the heart, of course, love first for God and then for his people and then for all men and women. And this is a love that manifests itself in deeds. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, the verse 18. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. The grace of faith launches the work, undergirds the work, and determines the quality of the work. But love gives warmth to the work, the grace of love. Love for Christ Jesus and for our lost, dying, condemned neighbors. Love guards the work from becoming a cold, methodical, even if faithful, work still, yet cold and methodical. Love keeps the work of faith a labor of love. Remember the faithful, contending brethren at Ephesus. In fact, never forget them, which were so faithful and were contending for the faith, but nevertheless they were warned by the Lord Jesus Christ this way, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The only right motive for work of faith is always love for Christ Jesus first, and then, of course, we will rightly love man. That work of faith, which is commendable before God and man, and which will be effective and persistent and consistent, is a work, a labor of Christian love. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Sometimes our labor for the Lord can be to the point of weariness, even physical weariness. No doubt there were some of you weary at times this weekend, including because some of you, many other duties, much other work and responsibilities with regard to your employment and your families, which you must attend to as well. No doubt it's not the first time some of you have labored to the point of weariness in the Lord's service. But God forbid that we would ever grow weary in well-doing. Ever grow weary in serving the one who toiled so painfully through a lifetime here on earth in order to wrought out that perfect righteousness for us. And then he labored on the cross under the crushing weight of our imputed sins, suffering in body and soul, even unto death, to complete his work, his great redemption work, by which we were justified, saved, regenerated, made beloved children of God, and given an everlasting inheritance in glory. Let us be a grateful children. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, this hope spoken of in our text is not translated from the same Greek word as when hope is used with regard to the resurrection and our eternal inheritance and glory. A case in point there being Titus 3, the verse 7, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In that case, the hope is a sure, confident expectation wrought in the heart with, and we might say, flowing out then of the grace of faith. Now, the hope of the resurrection and everlasting life, the hope of glory, is one of the three principal graces of the Christian, the other two being faith and love. And have I not said that in our text we have the three principal graces of the Christian? We do. I'm not saying the hope in our text is divorced from the grace of hope, not at all, just because it's translated from another word. The hope in our text is the grace of hope, but there's an emphasis here on something else. Those who have that grace of hope also manifest it with regard to their life here. And given the context of our text, and given the Greek word, that in this case hope is translated from, we would know that the patience of hope means a cheerful, enduring continuance in the work of faith and labor of love spoken of. That's the meaning in the Greek of this word, translated hope in our text today. A cheerful, enduring continuance. And of course, a continuance in the work of faith and labor of love. So it is, we have here, the third evidence of true faith and regeneration. Those with the grace of faith show it by their works. And these works are labors of love. And they are done in hope, not despair, not in doubting, not in gloom, not in mechanical obedience, but in hope. And not in a burst of enthusiasm and that dying out, no, but in hope. A cheerful, trusting, enduring continuance. In fact, hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom we labor, and with whom we labor, and who is well able to bless and prosper our work, most certainly including our gospel work, and he will do so in his good time. And to this, faith, love, and hope all assent and combine to sound the Amen. And further, we have the blessing of knowing that our work of faith and labor of love and patience and hope in our Lord Jesus is in the sight of God and our Father, who, as we speak of the particular and very appropriate application of our text, he will bless both the sower of gospel seed and the seed he or she sows. He will bless not only the seed sown, but he will bless the sincere, faithful, believing, laboring in love and hope Christian. In the case of some of you, sacrificing, not like others have done around the world, not that sort of sacrifice, even their life, even all their goods, even everything they have, not at all, but still sacrificing to make certain you can persevere in this. Setting things aside, rearranging your lives so you can serve the Lord and continue on this work of faith and labor of love and this patient hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bless you. He will bless you spiritually, and he will bless you in other ways as well. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the sight of God and our Father. And as we think of events such as this past weekend, this gospel work, it is the same as we think of this being done in the sight of God and our Father. It is the same for, to give an example, for such a one as a young mother with many small children whose husband and two saved sons labored in the gospel, but for her it was impossible. But her heart is still in the Lord's work and for the work. And so what do we hear from such a one? We hear, what can I do? How can I help? And she did help where she could in several ways. I'm using this as an example. And we know how she prayed for the work and the workers. This too was all in the sight of God and our Father, who knows our hearts and our situation. She had done what she could. We must all be able to say that. Have we done what we could? And who is to say what fruit will be born from such faithful, effectual prayer, such a one? This is a work of faith. This is a labor of love. This is patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ manifested. I might also mention, I know there was one young Christian here who was sick and couldn't come. But she too, I'm sure, labored in prayer, and God saw her heart. This too was in the sight of God, and he will bless her willingness, her desire to be out there and serve her Lord, and he will bless her effectual, righteous prayer. We give thanks to God always for you all, Paul, his fellow ministers, all ministers since, when thinking of such as some we have here, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And may God receive all the glory, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. and let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Amen.